Coming up next on Louisiana Eats, we get the scoop on some delicious ice cream being made right in our own backyard. In New Orleans, Sam Caruso has found quick success selling handmade small batch ice cream. His secret?
The secret is I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing 90% of the time. If you want a model of how not to do something, then I'm your guy.
And Jillian Duran is pushing the limits of what's possible with every new batch she makes.
Ice cream typically has a high sugar and fat content, so that allows us to kind of just like pump it full of other things and explore what ice cream should be now.
We're serving up flavors to swoon for on this week's Louisiana Eats. That's coming up next. But first, the news.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The new and worrisome coronavirus variant known as Omicron has been detected in the United States. NPR's Dan Charles reports that a person in California who returned to the U.S. recently from South Africa tested positive for the new variant.
The Omicron variant was first identified in South Africa on the 24th of November, but it was actually collected from a person more than 2 weeks earlier, so it has had time to spread. In recent days, public health officials have detected it in more than 10 countries, including the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, and Australia. It's now appeared in the U.S. as well. The Omicron variant has sparked concern because it contains so many small genetic changes compared to previous variants, which could mean that today's vaccines may not control it as well. But scientists say it'll take days or even weeks to know for sure whether that's true. Dan Charles, NPR News.
The U.S. Supreme Court is weighing arguments in a monumental case for abortion rights. At issue is a Mississippi law that bans abortions at 15 weeks. That's 9 weeks before what's determined to be fetal viability. Mississippi wants the court to reverse all of its previous abortion decisions and return the abortion issue to the states. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports conservative Chief Justice John Roberts questioned why 15 weeks was inappropriate.
I think the Chief Justice clearly has never liked the viability line and still doesn't like the viability line and would like to ditch the viability line. And 12 weeks seemed to him to be a reasonable, he didn't use the word compromise.
NPR's Nina Totenberg reporting. It's not immediately clear if the court's three newest justices, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, were ready to strike down Roe v. Wade, but they appeared to signal they were ready to uphold the Mississippi law. The three liberal justices suggested that overturning Roe v. Wade would make the court appear political. President Biden is trying to reassure people across the U.S. that the high prices they've been facing will ease.
We've seen the price of oil and gasoline on the wholesale markets come down significantly. In fact, since the end of October, the average weekly price of gasoline in the wholesale market has fallen by about 10%. That's a drop of 25 cents per gallon. Those savings should reach the American people very soon, and it can't happen fast enough.
At the White House today, Biden says his Build Back Better plan will bolster an already strong economic recovery. He disputes GOP arguments that Build Back Better will add to the country's inflationary pressures. Yesterday, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell testified before Congress that he expects high inflation will continue well into next year. He cited the ongoing global labor shortages, supply chain disruptions, and potential risks posed by the newest variant of the coronavirus. The Dow is up 96 points at last check. This is NPR News. A report out of Paris projects renewable energy will expand by more than 60% worldwide over the next 5 years. NPR's Jeff Brady has details.
The International Energy Agency projects that in 2026, the amount of renewable electricity across the globe will be equivalent to the current capacity of fossil fuels and nuclear combined. The agency says renewable energy will make up nearly 95% of new generating capacity. The IEA says China will remain the leader in the amount of renewable energy it generates. India is expected to have the fastest growth, doubling renewable energy construction over the last 5 years. Both countries will still rely on fossil fuels, though. Under the Paris Climate Agreement, their fast-growing economies get more time to zero out climate-warming greenhouse gas emissions. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
Japan's asking international airlines to stop booking new inbound reservations for all flights until the end of this month. The Transportation Ministry says its emergency measure is a precaution against the Omicron variant of coronavirus. At least two cases have been confirmed. Japan's is among the strictest, but countries worldwide have imposed travel restrictions as scientists try to determine how dangerous the new variant may be and whether current COVID-19 vaccines offer enough protection. Meanwhile, several cases of the highly mutated variant have been confirmed in Denmark. Health officials there say one of the patients was at a concert attended by nearly 2,000 people on Saturday. Denmark's health officials are urging everyone who was at that event to get tested. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Fidelity Wealth Management, helping clients develop investing strategies for tax efficiency. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
For 2 hours of underground music, join me, James Vanway, for The Fringe, Fridays, 10 to midnight, only on listener-supported KRVS.
Louisiana Eats is brought to you with support from Louisiana Fish Fry, a staple of Louisiana kitchens for nearly 40 years. Maker of batters, coatings, boils, tartar sauce, cocktail sauce, and more. Dig into homemade Louisiana flavor. From our studios in the Southern Food and Beverage Museum in New Orleans, this is Louisiana Eats. I'm Poppy Tooker. I scream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. Isn't that just the truth? If you're a lover of the frozen confection as I am, this week's show is especially for you. We're taking a deep dive into the ice cream underground to uncover the magicians who are taking America's favorite dessert to new heights right here in Louisiana. We begin with Sam Caruso of Lousy Ice Cream to learn the triumphant recovery story behind his spinning ice cream maker. And then we'll meet Jillian Duran of Rom House, who uses her fine pastry making skills to create both ice creams and ice cream cakes like nothing you've ever seen. Be forewarned, you won't be able to tear yourself away from her Instagram. And finally, we get hoodooed by a trip across Lake Pontchartrain to meet Billy Suske and George Schenck, who are making magic at Hoodoo Ice Cream in downtown Covington. So get a spoon, a big spoon, and get ready for some chili deliciousness on this week's Louisiana Eats. In New Orleans, there's a line of small batch ice cream that's causing a stir with handmade, unconventional flavors. Sold by the quart, customers can get flavors with names like Peanut Butter Lover's Lane, Strawberry Briefcase, and Robert De Niro, each filled to the brim with premium toppings and mix-ins. Behind this operation is one man who has overcome a host of challenges to create a whole new future for himself.
My name is Sam Caruso of Lousy Ice Cream.
Of course, Sam's ice cream is anything but lousy.
It's spelled L-A-O-Z-I and pronounced lousy, L-O-U-S-Y.
The name actually came from Sam misquoting the Chinese philosopher Sun Tzu.
It did. It came from The Art of War. So Sun Tzu, The Art of War, quote, "Victory comes from finding opportunities and problems."
The quote spoke to him, and sure enough, after dealing with past struggles with addiction, a 2019 bike accident, and a pandemic, Sam has now found a sweet opportunity with Lousy Ice Cream. Louisiana Eats joined Sam at his Mid-City workspace, located in the back of Blue Dot Donuts, to learn more.
So I always say that I'm going to write a book one day because the story goes so far back. From I remember being in the kitchen as a teenager. I always loved food, and I always said I want to open my own restaurant. Well, that was never able to be a reality for me. I come from a dark past, dark background. I was I'm an addict, alcoholic. I was an IV heroin user for 17 years. I was homeless, in and out of jails, treatment centers, my whole entire life. That's what my life was. Couldn't keep a job longer than 6 months. It was ups and downs and ups and downs. Start doing okay and fall off. In 2017, I was actually homeless, had nowhere to go. I had been to detoxes. I had been to River Oaks Hospital twice. I remember in 2017, July, I got out and I just couldn't fight. It wouldn't shut off in my head. And I thought my destiny was to just go out and maybe somebody could benefit from my unfortunate situation. But in October, I decided to go back, give it another shot, and went to detox. And then I went to treatment again. And I got out. That's when something had changed for me. I came back home to New Orleans, and I just had a different mindset. A light bulb, the proverbial light bulb, went off in my head. While headed up to treatment, I was like, when I get home, it's going to do anything. I'll do anything. And this, and I remember having that thought. I always envy people who are creative. I never did I think I was. And when I got sober, I started doing things like I started taking piano classes at Delgado. I was taking drawing, painting. Went to culinary school. I dropped out. I realized it wasn't for me. But all these things, I found myself dragging tree trunks and old wood tables out of the trash. And I was waiting tables. And when people at the restaurant were going out after work to the bars, I would go home and open up cardboard and sit on my floor and put a movie on and a music and start painting crap that I found in trash, like wooden tables that people threw away, and that's what I would do. So it was a dark past, and I came out of it some kind of way.
So back in the restaurants, when you were working in the restaurants, you kind of got a fascination with the ice cream machine, didn't you?
Right. So this is when I got sober. It was the second job I had in sobriety for me, and I was working uptown waiting tables, and they did their own dessert menu. They had a little ice cream machine. And it was funny, I would get to work early, and every day I'd get in there and be like, what are you doing today? What happens when you do this? What happens? It was intriguing. I was interested in the whole process, and it wasn't like, oh, I want to do this. But I decided I ate ice cream every day. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get my own ice cream machine. So that's when I got a little $200 ice cream machine and played around with it and put it down, didn't mess with it for a while. And so that's how that came about. It was intriguing to me.
So, Sam, it's pretty amazing the way ice cream threw you a lifeline and kind of saved your life.
Yeah, like I say, it happened organically. I have no idea how it happened. I have an idea, but it did. In summer of 2019, I got hit by a car in Puerto Rico. I was almost killed in a car accident on a bicycle. And I was out of work. I was waiting tables before I went on vacation, and they told me that they would hold my job. But I wasn't healing. It was taking the doctors kind of misdiagnosed the breaks and stuff like that. So it took a good while to heal. And it got to be late October 2019 when my job ultimately was like, hey, we can't hold your position anymore. And I remember I was really upset when they told me that. I liked working there. I had been there for a little while. It was kind of like family, me and the rest of the servers and the crew. And I got kind of depressed. I was watching TV in my bed for like 2 days straight. And the light bulb went off. I was like, maybe I can learn how to make ice cream with the machine that I have in the kitchen and try to sell quarts for like $10 to like neighbors and friends just to get some cash coming in. And I couldn't get the quality where I wanted with that machine. And it wasn't necessarily with the flavors or anything, but I couldn't, texturally speaking, I couldn't get it. And so I did some research, like, man, what's going on with this? Like, So I did some research, some reading up on it, behind the science of it, and I realized it was not going to happen with that $200 machine. So I started looking at other machines, and the machine that I kind of set my eyes on was $1,300. I wasn't working. Obviously, that idea goes on the back burner. So I had a friend over at Killer Pool Boys, Camille Boudreaux. He knew my foot was still messed up, and I was in pain. He's like, hey, I'll let you come work the counter, pick your hours just so you can get some money. And I did that for 2 months, and very appreciative to him for that. But working for those 2 months, I realized that it was just kind of soul-crushing. I went into work with my head down every day and realized, man, I can't. It was difficult being out of work so long, and I was doing a lot of service work and volunteer work. 2019, I got hit by the car. However, it turned out it was the best year of my life, I think. So 2020, March comes. Camille calls me up 7:30 in the morning. Hey, we got to lay everybody off at the shop. Just when the start of the pandemic was kind of happening, and I had no idea really what was going on. He called in later, so said he was laying everybody off. And in my heart, I was like, yes. That same day, and this is funny, I was sitting on my porch reading something with a friend of mine, and a couple hours later, my tax return, tax money came in, and I owed the government $900 more, but my tax return check was $2,200. 9 out of 22 is $1,300. I didn't know what was going on with the pandemic. I thought, is the government going to have to like drop off groceries? Are we going to be stuck inside? Had no idea. So I was like, well, if I'm going to be stuck in the house, then I'm just going to buy this ice cream machine and try to have something to do, a hobby at that third. So I bought the $1,300 machine and was amazed at the jump in quality, you know, from a textual standpoint.
Something that I think you did from the very start that sets your ice cream apart is you may be a culinary school dropout, but you learned how to make custard in culinary school. What's the secret to the custard?
To be honest, I didn't learn a lot in culinary school, but it's my own fault, but so I learned how to make a custard with the sugar and the milk and the cream. And it was just something, it was just a process that was one of the things, like doing that. It just kind of stuck in my head. And I had heard of frozen custard before. I knew how to make a creme anglaise or custard. And I also started making regular, so you have your French style ice cream or your custards. And you have your Philly style ice cream or American style ice cream. Which doesn't incorporate the egg yolks. And so I did both of them. I did the thing with the no egg yolks. We get milk powder, dry milk powder and stuff like that. And they were both good. The American style was great. But I started with the custard. And so like once I started that, I tried the other way. And trying to go back, it was like, there's no way I could do this. The custard's more dense. It's more flavorful. It's like velvet, and it's just, I mean, it's I just couldn't go back. To me, the quality, the custard quality superseded the American style ice cream. I just couldn't go back. I didn't know what I was doing, but you know, just this energy was bursting out of me, and the ice cream thing, it found me. And really now it's like I don't know where it's going, but I just follow it. I get up in the morning and go and make it. And it just kind of takes me wherever the hell it wants to take me. And it's exciting. It's pretty exciting.
Coming up next, our conversation with Sam Caruso of Lousy Ice Cream continues as we learn about the deliciously inventive panoply of flavors he's spinning every week. Louisiana Eats returns after the break.
Play me some blues, Herman Fugelet.
I'll play you some Zydeco blues and R&B classics on the Zydeco Stomp. Noon Saturdays here on KRVS. Get ready for some Clifton Chenier, Keith Frank, Etta James, Leon Chavis, Irma Thomas, and so many more. Barbecue and drink a few with me, Herman Fuselier, on the Zydeco Stomp, 12 to 3 Saturdays on KRVS, 88.7 FM, and from Guam to Gaydon at KRVS.org.
Easy, baby.
Sibelius wrote music for a play about the 16th century ruler of Scandinavia who ordered the execution of over 80 of his enemies. It was known as the Stockholm Bloodbath. This week with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, two selections from King Christian II by Sibelius, plus music by Rachmaninoff and Tchaikovsky. Next time with the CSO, I'm Lisa Simeone.
Monday nights at 9 on KRVS.
Many music genres on the Dirty Rice Show. Hi, this is Lee Kleinpeter with an invite to join me and Bill Bolens for the Dirty Rice Show, 9 to 11 p.m. Saturdays on KRVS 88.7 FM. Made with Louisiana Rice, Louis Armstrong, Louis Prima, Marsha Ball, Irma Thomas, Fats Domino, Zydeco to Jazz, Pop to Funk. Join me and Bill this Saturday night, 9 o'clock, for 2 hours of the cream of the crop of Louisiana music. Dirty Rice, gluten full, just like Grandma's recipe.
I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Camellia Brand, Beans Done Right, a New Orleans tradition since 1923, from Rouse's Markets, synonymous with seafood straight from Louisiana's waterways. Rouse's Markets tastes like home. And from Crystal Hot Sauce, made with three simple ingredients: aged red cayenne peppers, distilled white vinegar, and salt. Nothing artificial. Crystal Hot Sauce, how New Orleans does flavor. If you're just joining us, we've been speaking with Sam Caruso of Lousy Ice Cream in New Orleans. Following a bike accident and the loss of his service industry job in 2020, the recovering addict found himself in his home kitchen experimenting with a much nicer ice cream maker than he'd previously worked with. Now, Sam could try his hand at more nuanced flavors, creating ice creams that were custard-based, French-style, with egg. Sam walked us through how he went from this trial phase to where he is today, running a successful pop-up and spinning fresh flavors out of Blue Dot Donuts, where we spoke.
How it all happened, I'm still actually in shock and all. I mean, I'm still wondering what the hell is going on, to be honest with you. But it was funny. I was so excited about how much different the new machine, how different the quality was. I was like, you know, I was amazed. It wasn't what I was doing. You know, I kind of had a knack for it. What I was doing was just the machine. So I liked the quality, and I felt confident with actually selling it to people. So I was like, I'm going to turn my Instagram into a business. I had less than 100 followers when I did this. And so I turned the Instagram into a business page, and people started calling me that I didn't know. And, you know, neighbors started kind of spreading the word. I was selling to friends and neighbors, and it just happened. It took off so fast. I remember in the beginning, you know, it started with the quartz, because the quart containers are having family meal at the restaurant. I would take leftover food in the quart containers, clean them out, and I had stacks of quart containers, and that's how that started. And I still sell in quart containers. Obviously now I buy quarts by the thousands. But also another reason I stuck with it, I hand draw all my lids, literally hand draw every one. And I experimented with stickers. I designed stickers and did that for a moment. And I realized it took just as much time to go peel a sticker and then go back and write the name. So I'm still working on some different techniques. But I hand do all lids. And if I did pints, then that would be twice as many lids to do, right? So, I couldn't even imagine.
What's your production level up to?
Production level, yeah, I mean, I started, I remember, probably making like 25 quarts a week. Now I do over 200 quarts a week. I remember when I did the King Cake when for Mardi Gras, I did 240 quarts, and it sold out in an hour. That's 60 gallons of ice cream. It's not always like that. I like to play around and do weird stuff, but I don't have the space where I'm at right now. Very limited freezer space, very limited in a lot of things that I do. So when I make stuff, usually I generally make it to sell. I kind of at this point learned what people like. And although I want to go and do, you know, things with peppers in them and do all kind of weird stuff, you know, have a lot of ideas, I'm kind of limited right now. Once I get my own, when I get my own storefront, then I'll be able to play around more because I have the space and be able to keep it in the freezer. But right now, I make things to sell. I had a dream this morning, or a half dream, of something with lemon that I'm doing. Lemon and condensed milk that I'm doing right now. So the inspiration, it can come from anywhere. I can go eat a pizza and be like, basil custard with candy sun-dried tomatoes and mascarpone, you know. But and I want to do that and do things like that, but I just need my own storefront first.
Through necessity or perhaps some design, you've added sort of this underground element to lousy ice cream.
Somebody called me, a lady called me one time, teaches some kind of business thing, and she was asking me about it. I said, if you want a model to show students of how not to do something, then I'm your guy. So when you look at my page all throughout the week, I am posting pictures and videos because I am excited about what I'm doing, and I like taking pictures, and it's fun, and I like to share this with people. It's pictures of what I'm making. You can't ask me what I'm making because I don't even know yet half the time. I just know the stuff that I'm doing. And I take pictures, and a lot of people are like, oh, can I order? I used to do the thing where I would take pre-orders. It can't work anymore. It's just too many people, and I can't keep up with it. So first come, first serve. Just stay, keep your eyes peeled on my Instagram and Facebook page.
So what's it like when you open the door, Sam? I mean, is there a line? What happens?
Oftentimes, especially the first day, there is a line. Sometimes I'll be coming in and it says a line. Like, I'll start going frantic. It's getting crazy. But it's good, man. One of the favorite parts about doing this is I worked front of the house most of my whole life. I like interacting and talking about ice cream and food with people. It's fun to talk. I have a rapport with most of my guests, most of the customers that come. I like talking to them. I like meeting new people. I love talking about ice cream, about what's going on, listening to ideas. I just like people, and I like meeting new people. And the whole thing, it's perfect for me because, you know, it captures everything that I saw in what I would be doing with food. It was like, I get to cook and I get to share. I get to listen to music all day and I get to meet all kinds of new people. And nobody's ever upset when they're buying ice cream. There's no upset customers. I've never had one yet.
Well, I'm so glad that I was able to find you at this particular juncture of your career, because I can hardly wait to see where lousy ice cream is going from here.
I could hardly wait to see where it's going myself. So I have no idea when an opportunity comes up. I have kind of been looking at places slowly and patiently. I found it's always best to remain patient and just open-minded and not just jump on the first thing. I work out of Blue Dot Donuts off the back porch right now. They're kind enough to have me over here, and so far it's working out. But I mean, this thing is growing, and it's growing really fast. And like I said, I'm just following it, and wherever it takes me, I'm just as excited to see. And I wake up every day excited, like, you know, what am I doing today? I love my job.
Sam Caruso of Lousy Ice Cream, speaking to us in his workspace in the back of Blue Dot Donuts in Mid-City, New Orleans. To learn how to get your own quart of Sam's handcrafted ice cream, visit him on Facebook and his Instagram page using the handle at lousy.ice.cream.
I'm Jillian Duran, and I'm the owner and ice cream maker at Ram House Ice Cream.
Jillian Duran, a self-described art school dropout, found her true medium in food.
After the recession, I found myself working in a Mexican restaurant, and I kind of realized, like, I love this. And then I started baking a lot and realizing that it took two things that I love, chemistry and art, and kind of combined them.
After a stint in cooking school, she eventually found herself working at the revered Blue Hill at Stone Barns and Public, a Michelin-rated Manhattan hotspot.
Fine dining, plated desserts was really kind of where I found my niche. Originally, cake design and decoration that really appealed to me in school, but I quickly was immersed in this like huge environment where there's so many different facets of what you can do in culinary, not just cooking and not just baking, and to really be a pastry chef and to understand plated dessert not only through the composition of flavors but also the composition of color and what it looks like aesthetically, but most importantly is to also make it taste good. You don't want to deliver on one and then fall through on the other.
Jillian uses all of her skills to create a perfect dessert, requiring a careful composition of flavors and colors, something she did last at Maypop here in New Orleans. When Maypop's chef, Michael Galata, closed down during the pandemic, Jillian realized her dreams of owning her own business. Take one look at her Ram House Instagram to see Jillian's edible art on display. Jillian, your ice cream is delicious.
Thank you.
As much as I'm desperately trying to put that pandemic in my rearview mirror, a lot of people would have regarded what happened as an adversity, but you turned it into an opportunity. You didn't have a job.
I didn't have a job. I was just promoted to pastry sous chef, and so I thought, great, I'm going to have this salary. I had a summer position that I've held for the past couple years as a private chef on Long Island. Both of those jobs fell through, so I instantly had no income. And then I kind of left New Orleans for a little bit because I was also houseless. And I didn't want to go home to New York because my mother was just scared at that time. The pandemic, the numbers there were really bad and no one knew what was going on. It was new. And so I kind of sought refuge with the only family I have in the South, which is in North Carolina. And I stayed there for 2 months until I received unemployment and then eventually made my way back to New Orleans, got an apartment, got myself settled. And once I was done nesting, I was thinking about the future and the future of my place in the city and the future of the food industry in the city. And I kept seeing people closing and I just wanted to build something for myself so that I didn't need to rely on an existing system that seemed to be very broken at the time.
How did unemployment turn into ice cream?
I was fortunate enough to receive New York State unemployment because I'm a part-time resident of both Louisiana and New York. So for the past 4 years, I think I've been paying taxes in both places because of the summer unemployment. It was more money than I've ever made in my life. And I just thought, okay, here's my one shot. Like, here's some money that I can finally put towards something for myself.
And you settled on ice cream.
Yeah, I decided on ice cream. I got the LLC started. I did the Instagram, like, without actually even making anything. I was like, I need to get all my ducks in a row. And I reached out to friends who work in the food and service industry in social media to say, like, how do I put this out there? How should this brand look? Like, how do I do this? And they kind of pointed me in the right direction. And then I just made ice cream. I have this little machine at my house that spins about 2 quarts at a time. It takes 45 minutes. It's very slow, but great for a home cook. And I've used it many times. And I just was handwriting pints and I just made up these little menus and like typed them up and then posted on our Instagram, like, here you go, free delivery, like we're making ice cream. And I just followed all of my friends, all of my boyfriend's friends, and anyone who was actively also trying to do the same thing in New Orleans. And it just spread like fire. And once I kind of got things rolling, I kind of had this like, what am I doing? How am I actually going to do this? And I reached out to Chef Mike and said, hey, you have an empty restaurant. Like, can I use the ice cream machine? And he told me yes. And he told me not only could I use the restaurant, but he would buy the ice cream from me and I didn't have to pay him rent. And I thought like, wow, this is incredible and way too nice.
So why did you name your business Rom House?
Originally, I wanted to call it Bricks House. Bricks meaning like sugar content.
D-R-I-X.
Yes. And house, just because it was German and, you know, it's like kind of metal. And then I thought that word's been really played out. I know a lot of places that are called Bricks. And I thought it might be too obscure or abstract for some people, like who are not in baking or, you know, know about refractometers. And so I had a discussion with a good friend of mine and he just said, what about ROM? And I was like, what? And he's like, it means cream. And I was like, yes, ROM House. Like, and I instantly saw the logo. I instantly was like, it fits my aesthetic, this like all black kind of metal, you know, kind of thing going on. And it just took off.
Is that your mascot on the label?
So, yeah, our logo is an interpretation of Rom House, what it sounds like in English. So it sounds like Ram House. And so it's a ram, looks kind of like a goat, but he's supposed to be a ram, and he has ice cream horns. And then he has like a little cherry on top and sprinkles and whipped cream with a little kind of drooling tongue. And above his head, you'll notice a crescent, and that's for New Orleans, for the Crescent City.
So you're in the pint business.
I'm in the pint business. Also very much in the scoop business now since we've gotten the new cabinet. But currently we do around 400 pints a week.
Wow. So back at the start, how many were you doing?
Oh, my gosh. I had one freezer that I bought off Facebook Marketplace. And I think maybe like 50 tops on like a good week. And that was hectic because I was doing all the sourcing, the production, delivering all of these things, like trying to put it out there. And then also taking all of the orders manually, like over the phone. And so it was a 24/7 job.
And what was that first menu like?
Oh, my gosh. It was South Carolina peach ice cream. It was the corn, curried corn with blueberry jam.
Curried corn?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a flavor profile from Blue Hill at Stone Barns. It's a Mignardie that they used to do. And I was like, no, that's good. Like, I want to do that at ice cream. Honestly, I kind of was just inspired by what I had around me. I just started going to farmers markets around and buying things, which is still what I do. And I don't have a plan. I just kind of grab these ingredients, ask the people who are there what's good, and then I buy them and then figure it out.
Well, that is the most incredible talent that you have because of your flavor combinations.
Thank you.
They're brilliant. So take us on a flight of Rom House flavor.
So I would say we've grown quite a classic kind of Rom House like grouping, right? Like our mainstays, even though we release a different menu every week. I would say my favorite is the black garlic and honey, which is called the black and gold, of course. Black garlic is insane, and it's so rich and deep in flavor, and it's black because it is cured, like almost fermented at low heat for about 6 weeks. It causes like a Maillard reaction, which is the caramelization of all the sugars in the garlic. And so that really mellows out that like acid, pungent kind of thing. And you end up with like just a rich caramel taste. And it's incredible and complex. And I use that a lot in a lot of things.
I tasted it and it is so good. It's really delicious.
Thank you.
And what else? What other flavors?
So we do an umami milk chocolate. That's a play on like French fries and Frosties, which is like my favorite thing as a child. It is a milk chocolate ice cream, and then it has furu, which is fermented tofu, like bean curd. We use that a lot in a Chinese restaurant that I worked at in New York, and I loved the flavor that it brings to things, this like salt, almost yeasty kind of like warm bread kind of flavor. And so that with the milk chocolate is like phenomenal. It's very light, but it's there. Thai tea and Oreos, huge, huge flavor. It was just supposed to be a play on cookies and cream. And I thought, like, how can I make this more interesting? And I was like, I love Thai tea, love Oreos. Okay, we put them together. People freaked out. So that's, you know, often on our menu.
Wow. And so what has the reaction been?
It's been fairly positive. And I love that people often don't know how to pronounce some of the ingredients because I don't shy away from them. Like, I'll just call it, you know, Dobashan dark chocolate. And then people are like, what is that? And then I kind of like that it's like, oh, it's this thing. And you just ate beans and ice cream. And people are like, oh, that's actually really good. And so I think it's fun to be sharing ingredients with people that they haven't had, you know, a chance to try anywhere else. And then hopefully they go out to the store and they buy it and they make something with it.
I love the way you think and I love the way you create. What are some of the exciting things that you just haven't had a chance to make yet? What are you looking forward to?
Everything. I mean, the possibilities with ice cream are endless. That's kind of our idea, like an exploration of ice cream as a medium meaning like a vessel. Like this is a great way to explore different flavor combinations. Ice cream typically has a high sugar and fat content, so that allows us to kind of just like pump it full of other things and really explore what ice cream should be now. You know, mint chip is good, of course it's good, but like let's do something else. Ice cream sandwiches, that's a huge thing for me. We've done it in the past. The production on that is a lot, and right now it's only two of us who do all of the production. But yeah, this summer I'm looking forward to doing like a bunch of different ice cream sandwiches and chip witches. Those are huge for me. Those are like one of my favorite.
What's that?
It's just a chocolate chip cookie with ice cream, usually rolled in sprinkles or chocolate chips. And we've done a play on it in the past. And I'd like to start offering that regularly. But we'll get there.
Well, bravo. I am so tickled that ice cream caused our paths to cross.
Yes.
And I just can't wait for my next scoop.
So, yeah, come see us.
Thank you, Jillian.
Thank you.
That was Jillian Duran of Rom House Ice Cream. To taste any of the wonders she's spinning up, you can meet her at the Courtyard Brewery on Camp Street, Rom House's home base, or drool at length online at romhouseicecream.com. What is Philadelphia-style ice cream, and how did it get that name? Stay tuned, and we'll answer that question when we come right back.
Later today on This American Life.
Being so close to these birds that don't normally allow us to get that close to them was like passing through some kind of force field or something and emerging on their side of the divide and feeling that.
A flock of birds changes one man's life. And other birds changing other people's lives. Later today.
Tonight at 7 on KRVS.
Support comes from The Vermilion, the University of Louisiana at Lafayette's student-run newspaper, which offers students paid positions. For additional information, contact Matthew Tarver at mtarver@louisiana.edu or call 337-482-6958, 337-482-6958. 6958.
I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is brought to you with support from Louisiana Fish Fry, breadings, boils, new air fry mixes, and more classic Louisiana dishes available everywhere. Let's all Louisiana. And from the St. Tammany Parish Tourist Commission, located 40 miles north of New Orleans' French Quarter along the shores of Lake Pontchartrain. This fall includes many outdoor festivals, the weekend beats and eats, and upcoming holiday events. The delicious Tammany Taste culinary scene and abundance of soft adventure attractions are among the many reasons to love the North Shore's charming communities. Find details on upcoming events, itinerary suggestions, and more at LouisianaNorthShore.com. Here's this week's culinary quiz question, brought to you with support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen. What is Philadelphia-style ice cream, and how did it get that name? American ice cream is often referred to as Philadelphia-style, a label born out of the 1787 Constitutional Convention, which took place in the city of brotherly love. Founding father Ben Franklin used ice from his storehouse and cream from a neighbor's cow to create what he called creme froid, or cold cream. His idea was revolutionary because Franklin's frozen dessert did not begin with a cooked custard base, as they did in France, where he first happened upon the icy confection. Today, most American ice cream is made in the Philadelphia style, as Jillian Duran does at Rahm House. Sam Caruso cooks his own custard base for what he calls French-style ice cream. Which is better? You'll have to taste for yourself and let me know. One thing is for sure, any kind of ice cream always makes for some good Louisiana Eats. North Columbia Street in Covington's historic St. John District, Hoodoo Ice Cream has been offering a variety of locally sourced homemade flavors since 2018. When Louisiana Eats visited Hoodoo Ice Cream on a weekday afternoon, owners Billy Suskey and George Shank offered us samples of their creations.
That's really yummy. That's really yummy.
Everything from vanilla and chocolate to almond pistachio, blueberry buttermilk, and bananas Foster.
We have about 14 flavors. We have about 10 flavors that are always on the menu, and we have 4 to 6 flavors that we rotate.
If you're not sure where to begin, don't worry. They offer flights of different flavors, just like the flights you might purchase at a brewery.
So you get 4 2-ounce servings, which is the equivalent of a double scoop of ice cream.
Each flavor of ice cream is made from grass-fed Jersey cow's milk from Moté Progress Milk Barn in Mississippi, the same makers of Creole cream cheese. In fact, one of the flavors you can try at Hoodoo is their delicious Creole cream cheese ice cream.
That was the Creole cream cheese that you actually just tasted.
I knew that was Creole cream cheese, and it is perfect because it's complex. It's got that tartness. It's wonderful. After savoring those samples, we sat down with Billy and George to learn how these two friends became the unlikely owners of an ice cream shop.
My name's Billy Suskey. I'm a co-owner of Hoodoo Ice Cream.
I'm a George Schenk, and I'm a co-owner of Hoodoo Ice Cream.
I had a carpentry business, and ice cream was just a hobby. This is just kind of a hobby that got out of control. Put down the hammer and picked up the scoop. And George was a chef here in the community.
I was executive chef at a private country club in Abita Springs.
And so how did the two of you all come together over an ice cream cone?
Well, my daughter is 9 years old right now, so I guess when she was around 5 or 6 years old, we were just making ice cream at the house for fun, learning the science behind the whole aging process, and doing it all on pen and pad, and just to balance those butter fats, to have that high butter fat and get the right amount of sugar in the ice cream to actually make an ice cream that's scoopable when you freeze it the next day and not turn into some icy mess that some people experience. We did ice cream at the house for a while, and then this ice cream cart popped up for sale, and you ask a six-year-old girl, do you want to make ice cream and sell it at the farmer's market? They're, of course, going to say yes. So that ice cream cart was the catalyst to it all at the farmer's market. After a couple years at the farmer's market, that's when just took a big plunge and decided to call George, and I said, George, why don't you quit your job and take a plunge in some ice cream and see if we float.
I knew Billy's work ethic, and he was a grinder and wants to get after it. And after just one conversation on what we envisioned, I knew that we could just push each other to go as far as we were wanting to go. And it just made enough sense, and it caused enough people, once I told them about the idea, that they thought we were absolutely crazy, that I knew it was going to be the right thing. We got together and kind of did some research and realized that there wasn't too much farm-to-table ice cream happening in the South, and we booked a trip out west to do some exploration and came back to Covington and put it all together and on paper.
So tell me about what sets your ice cream apart from everyone else's. It's farm-to-table, is it?
Yes. From what I've learned along the way, most people make their ice cream with either a liquid mix or a powdered mix, and we're actually using the raw ingredients and putting it together from scratch, creating a product that I think separates ours from most people out there. So we use local blueberries, we use Ponchatoula strawberries, try to source as many of these local ingredients as we can.
I'm very curious about your actual manufacturing processes, if there's any of those things you could tell us about.
I think it would probably be labeled as Philadelphia style, which doesn't have any eggs or any added emulsifiers, and the Motes cows, the Jersey cows, produce enough butter fat to substitute for the eggs per se, and allows for emulsification. But we do allow all of the bases to age a minimum of 12 hours, and that kind of helps all the sugar to dissolve and lower the melting point of the ice cream. It is a little different than the other ice creams, per se, because it is technically alive.
George, you're the chef in the pair, so you must be the mad science flavorist. Tell me how you develop the flavors of your ice cream, and are there some of them that are sort of wild, harebrained schemes?
Well, we collaborate on all the flavors and bounce ideas off of each other, and some of them stick and some of them shouldn't stick but still make an appearance. We did a cardamom and pickled okra ice cream last fall. We had some pregnant customers that really enjoyed it, but it was frequently sampled out, but it wasn't purchased too much. But it was still fun to play around with.
And sometimes you're playing with pepper, so you're playing with fire and ice, huh?
Yeah, that's correct. We try to utilize some locally made products as well, and one of them happens to be a pepper jelly. And so we'll pair the seasonal fruit with that same fruited pepper jelly to have a little spicy interaction.
That sounds delicious. Now, do you all actually make the cones to order?
Well, it's based off a French tool recipe, and We started off with a commercial mix right when we first opened, as we gathering our marbles and getting into the groove of things. And we quickly knew that we had to make a scratch cone. We just kept playing around with ratios of flour and sugar and eggs, and we came up with something that is light and airy and crispy and has enough structural support to hold a couple scoops of ice cream.
Now, tell me about your customers, because, you know, an ice cream shop in old downtown Covington, it's so charming. You must have a lot of devoted fans.
Yeah, we definitely have some regulars that come through. And one of the cool things about being in ice cream is that sweets cross all generations and all people from all walks of life. So we have a very diverse group of customers that come through, and old and young unite here, and it's really nice to be a part of that.
Well, it's fun that a lot of these kids, they're going to experience this ice cream shop at such a young age, and then as they grow, this is going to be one of these memories that they have later in life. They're going to remember going to that ice cream shop and getting those warm cones and having this really good experience.
That was Billy Suske and George Schenck, owners of Hoodoo Ice Cream in historic downtown Covington. That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats. Edible content for Louisiana food lovers. The rollicking fun at Toujac's continues this fall with special holiday-themed drag queen brunches taking place on the last Sunday of every month. Reservations are available for November 28th and December 26th. Drag queen brunch is guaranteed to be the perfect antidote to any holiday blues. Learn more by calling the restaurant at 504-525-8676. Catch up on previous editions of Louisiana Eats on poppytooker.com, where we have 10 years of Louisiana Eats editions available for pod and webcasting, along with recipes and cooking class videos, too. If you like our show, please rate it on your preferred podcast platform. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, Louisiana Fish Fry, Camellia Brand Beans, Crystal Hot Sauce, Rouse's Markets, the St. Tammany Parish Tourist Commission, and from D'Agostino Pasta. Handcrafted in Louisiana from semolina wheat and air-dried over rods in wooden cellars, D'Agostino pasta is made just as it's been done in Sicily for centuries. Visit D'AgostinoPasta.com to learn more. Support for Louisiana Eats also comes from Gulf Coast Blenders,